I'm pretty excited today. I've been working on a message series called Generous, being generous of your time, talent, and treasures. And at first, as I was thinking about this, I was like, you know, there's generous people here. Like, they don't need a message about being generous. But I thought, you know what? What if we thought about what is being generous with your time and talent and treasure actually do? What if we focused on that? What you're actually participating in when you're generous with your time and talent and treasure. And what happens? Here's the thing. Here's what happens when you are generous with your time, talent, and treasure. You're unleashing God's kingdom into the world around you. That's the exciting piece of this. When you are generous, you are unleashing God's kingdom into the world around you. That gets me pretty excited. Pretty stoked for it. And we're going to start today by talking about being generous with my time. That's a weird one. Let's just be honest, right? How do you be generous with your time? Like, oh, generous with money and stuff. Like, I can see that. But how do you be generous with your time? And if we're just honest, time is weird. You ever stop and just think about time? It's odd. It's an odd thing, and it's really fluid, isn't it? Well, think about it. If you're having a good time, time flies, doesn't it? Time flies when you're having a good time, and time stands still when you're having a bad time, doesn't it? It just feels like it won't move on. Time's weird. It's just this weird, strange concept. You can have, and maybe some of you parents and grandparents have experienced this with your kids, you've seen that they've had too much time on their hands. Right? They got too much time. They're just bored. They're getting into mischief. They're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They've had too much time, right? And maybe because you're a busy person, like you just lose track of time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Time is so strange that no one knows what time it is. You don't. You think you know what time it is. You don't know what time it is. Go ahead and take a look at your watch. Go take a look at your phone, however you tell time. Go ahead, do it. Go ahead, take a look. Tell me what time it is. Go ahead. Someone's got the time. You know, you're looking at your phone anyway. What time? What's 9:21, 9 what? Somebody have a different time? Because I got a different time. No one knows what time it is, right? Even with my phone and my wife's phone, same carrier, same brand, all of that, it'll be different times. No one knows what time it is. Time's a strange thing. Time is also an equalizer. It's a great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor, you're young, you're old. We all have the same time every day. We're all given just 24 hours in a day. That's what we have, right? So if time is this weird thing, how can we learn to be generous with time? I think that's a good question. I think a better question might be, how does using my time, how does spending my time unleash God's kingdom into the world around me? That's a better question, right? How, in what way, and who do I give my time to, and what do I give my time to that will unleash God's kingdom into the world around me? That's a good question. I think maybe it would be good to start with how Jesus thought about time. Huh? Do you ever see how Jesus might think about time? He talked about it. He lived his life one day at a time. That was his focus. In fact, he taught his disciples, those people that were around him and wanted to know how they should do their prayer life. He talked with them about focusing on one day at a time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 tells us exactly that. Give us today the food we need. Or many of you might remember this, another translation. Give us our daily bread. Yeah? Yeah, daily, one day at a time. In fact, following Jesus, being one of these disciples, those people that are invited to follow Jesus, he focused on being a one day at a time type of person. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Yeah, that's okay. Give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It's a one day at a time type of mindset and experience, isn't it? One day at a time. So, how do you spend your time? Right? Who do you give your time to that unleashes God's kingdom to the world around you? Because I personally would love to be a part of that. And how I spend my time matters. In fact, I started thinking about this, and I have an app on my phone. It's built right into my phone. It's called a digital well-being app, right? So I can open this app, and I can see how many times I've opened my phone during the day, right? Just to peek at it, take a look, whatever. Every time I open it, it registers, right? That might be a little embarrassing how many times I've opened this stupid thing, right? But it also shows me how many apps I've used and how long I've spent in each app. Yeah, some of you, you know, are like, I don't want to look at that app. It might be kind of embarrassing to see how much time I've spent scrolling through something or watching a TikTok, right? Right? Something like that. Like you'd be like embarrassed if anybody else saw how much time you spent on those things. But it's kind of a nice little wake-up call. If they thought about, like, what if we could evaluate our day, our 24-hour day that way? We could take a look and we could see how much time we were giving to something, how much time we were spending on something. Right? You could be able to see how much time you spent helping your neighbor and also how much time you spent complaining about a coworker. You could see how much time you spent praying and asking God for his wisdom to guide your life and how much time you spent praying just asking for God to fix your life. You could see how much time you spent forgiving someone. But you can also see how much time you spent nursing a grudge against them. Huh? Might be a little embarrassing if we were to give an account. So we come back to our question. How do you spend your time in such a way that it unleashes God's kingdom to those around you? Well, let's take a look at a day in the life of Jesus. In fact, we're not even going to look at the whole day. We're coming in partway through the day, okay? Let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to start reading and show you that it's not right at the beginning of his day. It's not like when he woke up. But we're going to pick right up in part of his day. It's just going to blindside us, okay? Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, what news? Right? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's other things that have been going on in Jesus' day. But he hears some news. He hears some news that's going on. Do you know what that news is? The news is about this person named John. They call him John the Baptist. It's the John the Baptist that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River and saw this Spirit of God coming down on him like a dove. Hearing this voice from heaven saying, "This is my son. I'm well pleased." It's that John. It's the same John that's a cousin of Jesus. He's like 6 months older than Jesus. And so this is relative to Jesus. And it's the same John that has been put in prison because he's been proclaiming that God's kingdom is here. And there's some people that don't like to hear that message. It's the same message Jesus is going to continue on. And the news that he heard is that John the Baptist has been beheaded. He's been killed. He's dead. He's been murdered for sharing this good news about God's kingdom. Doesn't really feel like God's kingdom's being unleashed into the world around him, right? Doesn't seem like it has a positive effect. But this is the news that Jesus hears. And so what does Jesus do with this news? Well, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. He's going to go and spend time with God the Father. He's going to go spend time with God. Because this clearly is an emotional, grief-stricken thing. Maybe even thinking about what impact does this have on his own ministry, his own life. Is he going to be put in prison? Is he going to be killed, right? So he knows that he needs to deal with this. This is you and me, isn't it? We start our day one way, and then something comes in sideways. Maybe it's huge news. You hear of a loved one that has died or going to die. Maybe it's some news that you get after a doctor's appointment and it's not great news and now you've got to deal with that, or it's news for that loved one that they receive, and now how are you going to live this life? And right, we get this that comes into us sideways. You started your day one way, and then something comes in sideways. Who does Jesus give his time to? Who does he give his time to that unleashes God's kingdom around him? Well, he wants to go off and be alone by himself, to go pray with God the Father. However, that gets interrupted. That gets interrupted. See what happens here next. Jesus on his way, go be by himself. Rest of the verse says, but the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. We all got stuff we're dealing with, right? We all got stuff that is going on, is stressing us out in our life. Maybe it's that news that's happened to us or about someone else. Maybe it's just stress of life. There's a lot of things that we're trying to get done, right? There's things going on in our life, and then we come up face to face some people that want something from us. Follow us around, right? They want something from us. Now, that could be a huge irritation, couldn't it? What Jesus does is he gives his time, not just to them, but to the good thing that God has for him to do in that moment. He has compassion on them. He cares about them, and he goes and he heals them, doesn't he? Anybody that has ever lived with or had little kids, like even infants can be this way, but like little kids where they're like old enough to like move around on their own, but not like old enough to really do anything. Like that's kind of the thing. You're going about your day. They have no idea all the stressors and things that are going on in your life. And yet they need and they demand from you. Give me, I need, right? They want something from you. Now, that could be something of like, man, just another thing that's taking from me. Or it could be like, how might God want me to have compassion on them? Yeah. It changes your focus. It also is moving in a way of unleashing God's kingdom into this world around you. It changes everything. But it doesn't end there. This is not the end of Jesus' day. There's another part of his day. It's getting late in the day. And his followers, his disciples, they pick up on that. And they have their own way of doing something that seems good in their own eyes. Here's what happens. Verse 15. That evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." That makes sense. It's a good idea, right? But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," Jesus says. Another opportunity. Not just somebody demanding from them, but like, okay, you guys aren't seeing how God's kingdom works. That there's a good thing for us to do. And so Jesus takes the time to do the good thing God has for him to do with these followers of him. Like, guys, right now, today, you got to give up your own way. You want to send these people away, right? That makes sense to you. Give that up. Turn from your own way. Take up your cross here, right here, today, in this moment, by feeding these people. Have compassion on them. Oh, you don't know how to do that. Here, let me show you. Let me show you what that looks like. Bring this stuff to me. Yeah? You think you don't have enough time. You only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish worth of time. Time's running away from you. Well, let's see what we can do with that time to unleash God's kingdom into this world around us. Now, some of you might be familiar with this. Some of you may not be. But this is where Jesus is going to feed a whole bunch of people. And pay attention. I invite you to pay attention to see what the disciples are doing here. They're the ones that are actually going to do this. They've turned from their own way, right? They've taken up their cross daily, and they're going to do the good thing that Jesus has for them to do. And see what happens. Let me look at verse 19. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up toward heaven, and he blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. Right? They're doing it. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward, the disciples picked up the 12 basket loaves of leftovers. About 5,000 men were there that fed that day, and including the women and children. That's not even including the women and children, right? That's God's kingdom being unleashed in the world around them, because Jesus gave his time to the good thing that God wanted him to do. Passed that on and taught that to his disciples, right? Is Jesus still grieving, right? Remember when we started the story? He gets this news. I need to go and be with God. I know I need that. Interruption or an opportunity to have God's kingdom unleashed to these people that are sick, and Jesus can heal them. To these disciples that can be a part of God's unleashing of his kingdom, to this group of people, thousands of people that they get to serve, and they can see how God's generosity gets poured out onto them. That's really cool. Where does Jesus go after this? You know this next part of the story? Immediately after this, right? So after they collect all the loaves of bread and the basket full, after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Did he get where he was going to go? Get that time to spend with God? He prioritized it, didn't he? He still accomplished it. He didn't go like, you know what? I just ran out of time today. I'll try again tomorrow. It's still a priority. And because that was a priority, he could even entertain giving his time to the good thing that God had for him to do. Healing the people, right? God's kingdom being unleashed. Feeding these people, and the disciples get to be a part of that. They learn to see in a new way God's kingdom being unleashed in the world around them, all because of how Jesus chose to spend his time. And he got there. He got to that time spent with God, alone, up in the hills, by himself, exactly what he needed. You know what happens right after this? He comes down out of the hills. Do you know the story that's next after this? Jesus walking on the water, right? Jesus walking on the water. Now, in one way, you might look at that and go like, wow, you know, Jesus walks on the water out to his disciples, and man, if I invest my time into the good things God's going to do, if I give my time to God in a way that says I will be a part of unleashing your kingdom, man, it's going to feel like I'm walking on water, right? Or you can look at it as like, even that is seeing God's kingdom unleashed in the world around Jesus. Jesus gets to where he wants to go. Right? God still gets him there, even in a miraculous way. It's God's kingdom being unleashed, isn't it? And it has everything to do with being generous with time. Huh? Completely crazy. Same, Jesus had 24 hours a day, just like you do. Right? And God's kingdom is unleashed. So how can we be a part of that, right? How do we get to be a part of unleashing God's kingdom in the world around us by thinking about our time? And I have one little phrase, one little, like, even prayer that you could take with you if you wanted to, right? I invite you to start praying this prayer. And you might need to do it multiple times in the day, especially as you have little, you know, snotty kids or whatever crawling up to you, like, get me, I need it, you know. Right? Here's a little prayer, right? This is all it is. Jesus, I give you my time. Jesus, I give you my time. Allow that to influence how you look at your situation. You got stuff you're dealing with. I get it. You'd love to have a time to pray with God and get some kind of healing in your own life. And there's other things that come in sideways all the time. Jesus, I give you my time. Right here in this moment, right now, I give you my time. Watch God's kingdom being unleashed into the world around you. This is exactly what the writer that to the letter in this church in Colossae, it's called Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. He tells us exactly what this looks like, lived out. Okay, so here it is. We'll put it up here. Colossians 3, 16 through 17. What do you mean, no? It's not there? Well, we do have it. Give me a second. I promise it's there. Here you go. That's a great thing about having a backup. Colossians 3, 16 through 17. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. What's filling your life? All the richness of this message that Jesus is bringing into our lives. The message that John the Baptist was arrested for and killed. The message that Jesus continues to give about God's kingdom being unleashed into the world around us. Let that fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you say or do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What is it that we're saying? What's this letter getting to? It's all about your time. Think about the time that you may give. And saying, Jesus, I give you my time to teach and to counsel each other. Because we're learning and we're embracing and allowing the message about Jesus to fill our lives. It pours out, unleashed to the world around us. How much time? Click open your little time app, right? How much time are we giving to Jesus to be taught and to counsel one another? I mean, you're here. You're giving your time right now, watching online. You've given your time, yeah? How much time are you giving to that? What does it look like to teach and counsel one another? Take time to sing these songs and hymns and things that are about giving thanks to God for what he's doing in your life changes the whole perspective of the demands that enter into your life and take and steal and demand of your time. Changes everything. You go, Jesus, I give you my time so that you can unleash God's kingdom into the world around you. So that wherever you are going, not just in this time, in this space right here, but when you leave here and you go into your real lives, you're doing it as that representative of God's kingdom, or the representative of Jesus everywhere you go. And you start, you can just start with, Jesus, I give you my time.